right, let's see how this goes. What is going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Rizology. This is episode 63, and I am joined by none other than myself. If you're watching, you can see it's solo Nick in the studio today. And there were a couple of little show ideas and topics that I have to do some solo episodes, get people caught up with me, what I do, some of the things that I'm knowledgeable about, and so forth. So on this episode, I've been getting a lot of comments, questions, concerns on my weight loss journey, the ability to keep the weight off now, and kind of what I'm doing. So I wanted to just list, it was originally going to be top five, now it's top six. I just wanted to run through a couple of bullet points just of the things that have kept me in control of not only my weight, but my mindset and things that I've been doing differently as opposed to, let's say, a year prior. I did have in the notes to talk about a few different things. The world is an interesting place right now, and I think everybody can feel the temperature of the world. And it's not just in politics, it's just person to person, it's life, it's the things that we're being fed on a daily basis, whether it's fear-mongering from the left, the right, the center, it doesn't matter. I do believe that there's a lot of really crazy shit happening at a very fast rate. A lot of my friends know this. When I talk to them, I get deep with certain conversations. And one of the things that I've felt is since COVID, I feel like the energy, yeah, the big C word, right? Nobody wants to say it. Or people get weird when you say it, especially on platforms. You know, fuck yourselves. It is what it is. We went through something, whether it was real, whether it was man-made, whatever it might be, we came out the other side of it. And now in September of 2023, it looks like they're going to start trying to do some rollbacks on masks and on the mandates. And I've got some really strong opinions about shit like that. If you've been listening for a while, you know I don't fuck with government on any side. It doesn't matter to me. I think everybody is corrupt. I do believe that everybody has an agenda. They're all puppets. And what it does is keep people like you and I at the lower level, never attaining an elite status. Not that you want it, because, you know, do you really want to be drinking the blood of infidels and shit like that? I don't know. But anywho, since COVID, the energy of the world has just felt off. Can't explain it, but certain things you just feel. So going into now September of 2023 and going into the next couple of months and an election year next year, which I don't know about you guys, but to me is insane. The fact that you have to say, oh, it's an election year, things are going to get crazy. Why can't we just have candidates that run not only tell the truth, which that they would all light on fire if, you know, they actually had to tell the truth, but, you know, why can't we just have an election, the amount of people that want to vote for these people, vote for them, and then that's it. Like, there's no bullshit. There's no secret shit. It blows my fucking mind. Anyway, I'm not here for politics. That could be another episode. But the energy's off. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the legalization and pushing of different things like gambling, pot, legalization throughout the country, keeping the liquor stores open during COVID. I mean, that is the most unbelievable thing to me on the planet. Just keep everybody dumb, fucking drunk all day and unaware of what's actually going on and be able to gauge the climate of things that are happening around them. Close the gyms. Make sure that everybody's not healthy. Blows my mind. But I was listening to a podcast as I was driving to my office just now, and it's a golf podcast, and they're talking about the NFL season, 2023 season's kicking off this week. And they said, oh, sports gambling sponsored by, I don't know, I think it was like Sports Kings or something like that, whatever fucking gambling site everybody uses. I have a lot of friends that are chronic gamblers, and I tell them all the time it's really not great. I get you guys win money, but you got to understand that at some point the house always wins. But listen, everybody needs to learn that lesson themselves. But what I found insane was on the actual ad, at the end of the ad, they tell you they're going to give you a $200 increase on all your bets for the first week of the NFL season. And at the end of the ad, they literally go, If you or a loved one have a gambling addiction, there are numbers and there are places that you can call for. Did I just hear this right? Did you guys just put an ad out to hook people into gambling and then give them the number for when they get addicted to call and seek help for rehab? There are certain things that just can't be explained. I don't understand how society has gone such a plummeting type level. It just feels like we're regressing. Comment below. Let me know if you guys feel this way. But I just feel like in all areas, the food quality, the lifestyle quality, I mean, just to get by financially, you have to really be killing it. As a single person without dual income household, you got to be fucking killing it. And life is just difficult on all areas. And the trajectory that we've been going is down. And I don't know when it starts to peak up, but I do know that what you can do is you can work on yourself to become better, because you can't always control the climate around you, but you can control yourself. So you see behaviors like sports gambling, drinking, drug use, even abusing yourself with eating the wrong foods. That's part of this episode and what we're going to be talking about. I mean, by not making these conscious decisions on the foods that you're consuming on a daily basis, the calories that you should be taking in versus the amount that you're expending during exercise, these are all things that you have to really be mindful of when you're trying to be healthy on all levels. I mean, one of the big things in the bodybuilding field, especially years past when I was competing and I was going through all the different stages of whether I wanted to take steroids, whether I didn't, just trying to figure out what my best route of approach would be. A lot of the big bodybuilders, you know, you ask them, hey, you're taking a lot of steroids. Aren't you worried about your health? Aren't you worried about your longevity? You got kids, you got a family, you know, what's your thought process on it? And a lot of these guys will just scoff and they'll say, I'd rather live 40 years as a lion than 80 as a sheep. It's like, really? Really? You'd rather just cut that many years off your life to just get as big as fucking possible and just, you know, fuck my family, leave them by the wayside? Didn't we get into the sport to be healthy? So you have to be able to make these conscious decisions. And listen, if that's their choice, that's the choice that they have to live out. And they're going to have to literally live with those consequences. It's something that they're choosing to do. And the people that are around them, if they support that, their family, their friends, they support that and they don't show them love and show some compassion and say, hey, you know, like maybe you should pull back a little bit or maybe you shouldn't, then whatever the consequence and end result is, you know, you kind of made your bed, now you got to lay in it. So that's the same thing with your health, the things that you're consuming. And when I say the things that you're consuming, I don't just mean consumption on a food level and ingestion of calories and whatnot. You got to watch what you're putting into your eyes and to your brain. Like, what are you watching? What are you consuming? If you're watching a bunch of bullshit, you know, soap operas and bullshit reality TV, or you're doom scrolling. I mean, I'm not a saint. We're all fucking guilty of it. We're all guilty of when we're bored, we look for that quick dopamine hit to just pull our phone out and entertain me. And it's difficult, you know, to not do that and to keep the phone in the pocket or put the phone in the kitchen at night and turn it off and keep it somewhere else. So these are little tips and little tricks that I've found have worked for me over the last couple of months. And I'm going to run down the list. I want to make this episode somewhat short and sweet. And then I can dive in to the actual logistics of each thing. And we can do a couple of episodes if you guys like this to go into it more. So a couple of the points that I had are don't be a statistic. So I looked up the obesity rate in America yesterday, and I put a little story on my Instagram, and the obesity rate is at 69%. Now, I had a lot of people message me, and they started debating about the BMI. That's what I was looking for. Sorry. The BMI chart and how it's inaccurate because, you know, a lot of people have more muscle than fat and so on and so forth. I completely understand that. I have technically been obese most of my life after I was actually obese because I was 270 pounds in 10th grade. So I can understand and sympathize on some level where, oh, yeah, you're obese, but you're not. You're actually muscular. But to dive into that a little deeper, what percentage do you feel is actually more muscle than fat in the country? So now we have to take ourselves, if you're listening to this and you're a regular gym goer or you're somebody that's in the CrossFit space or you're somebody that's in a high rocks type environment, because I, you know, with OG and all these guys, they do a lot of hybrid training. So if you're in that environment and you see these fit people around you all the time and you see health and people actually that care about their bodies, you have to take that with a grain of salt because that's a small minority in the United States. Even though most of the people we interact with, because like minds attract, most of the people we interact with are fitness people and people that take care of themselves. You look at the country, I mean, go to a movie theater, go to a restaurant, any restaurant, go to an amusement park, go to the beach, go to anywhere, I mean, the mall, and just look around. And when I say look around, don't look and judge, just go look, be more present and mindful of the people that are around you. And you're going to notice that there are an alarming amount of people that are heavy, don't go to the gym at all. I mean, you can tell, and don't take care of themselves on any level. And that's a problem because not only is it a problem to themselves because they're going to get sick, they're going to form illnesses and diseases, but it's a problem for the country because it's a strain on the medical system when we have to constantly take care of all these people. All of these foods that they're consuming, the seed oils, all the bullshit, the high fructose corn syrups, just all of the shit leads to cognitive issues and impairments and mental health issues. And these are all genetically modified foods. What do you think they're doing to you when you consume them? Do you think that the human body was meant to break these items down and properly digest them? No, you're going to be sick the more that you consume them. And one of the things that I learned in the fitness and bodybuilding space was even though somebody looks fit on the outside, doesn't mean their insides are crystal clear. Because there's a lot of people that have rotting insides based on the PEDs that they're taking, the consistent tilapia and shitty food sources and choices that they're eating on a constant basis, you know, not giving their digestive tract time to actually catch up. So when Mountain Dog was, you know, John Meadows was alive, his biggest tip to a lot of people was to fast one time a week. And this is before fasting as of late became more and more popular. So he used to say you need to fast because you got to give your digestive tract some time to catch up and take a break. Because if you're eating as a bodybuilder six meals a day, every day, you go to sleep, you wake up, that go to sleep, wake up period is the longest that you have without food and your body having to break things down. Right when you wake up, you're either doing your fasted cardio or you're having your first meal. And then the status for the fitness industry for a long time was every 3 hours, you're just packing more food into your body. Your body doesn't get a chance to actually chill for a second. So there's a lot of different things that you can incorporate through the fitness industry that will help the longevity and help you overall, but you have to be willing to understand that these are things that you can utilize to be healthy. So I have to start the episode, even though I've already been talking, I have to start the episode with a disclaimer that I'm not a doctor and it's not a substitute for medical advice. So you need to reach out to your general practitioner, dietitian, anybody that's certified in, you know, any type of food guidance, this and that, before you take all the advice you get here. And so what did I do? I had surgery January of 2023 to finish off an anal fistula that I had. And for those that don't know, it's a cut in the rectal wall that forms due to a sweat gland infection. And it's pretty common. It's very common in people with Crohn's disease or colitis, which I don't have. And my first surgery was the year prior, which they put a draining string in, which was in me from June of 2022 until January of 2023. So after that, I've been heavy the last couple of years. I thought that I was in decent shape, but I was way off. I mean, I was sitting in the 220 to 230 pound range for the last couple of years, especially after COVID. I kind of just let myself go, as a lot of people did. And it's not an excuse. It's just I should have been more on top of myself, but I wasn't, and I wasn't holding myself accountable. So after the surgery in January, I had a couple of rough weeks of just some mental health stuff. I was drinking. I was not taking care of myself again. I was eating a lot of sugary foods, drinking a lot of caffeine, just in general. I mean, tons of Starbucks. Obviously, I drink Reigns. So I think just the caffeine on top of everything else just didn't really sit well with me. And I did a Tony Robbins seminar in March with my mom, and my mindset started to shift a little bit. I started to open my eyes to being more responsible about myself, pushing my business forward, looking for other revenue streams as well. So a lot of things that I learned while doing that training. It was, I think it was like 4 or 5 days. It was a long time. It was 9 a.m. until 11 p.m. at night for like 4 or 5 days. And it was a big time investment, but it paid off. I mean, I have a whole notebook full of notes, and I go through every now and then and I read them again just to refresh my memory. And it was really good. But around that time, I decided to go check out HIIT Style at Gym, which I've had Evan and Taylor, who own the gym, OG, down in Lindenhurst. And I decided to just push myself and do some different training because I'm not a bodybuilder. I don't want to just lift to get big anymore. I want to be functional. I really want to be faster, stronger, and more athletic looking. Which months later, I can say that I feel like I have that look now, and I'm getting better each and every week that goes by. So I realized that I wasn't going to be able to smash through these goals if I wasn't taking my fitness serious and I wasn't taking myself serious. So while listening to Bedros Koulian's podcast, he had talked about abstaining from alcohol and getting rid of all vices. Now, I'm big on getting rid of vices. I think that these things just hold us down. And similar to like having the ball and chain in a prison system, just your ankles locked up and you're constantly dragging this big ball. I feel like that's what that was. So I've never really been the biggest drinker. I've gone out, I've partied, I've drank, and I've had a good time. But even when I was younger, I didn't really enjoy going out and partying. I always enjoyed making money more. So I had to evaluate my relationship with alcohol and kind of what I was doing. I mean, every weekend, because I live in a village, I would go down to this corner store, grab a couple beers, go back to my apartment, play some Xbox, hang out. And it's good vibes. I mean, I wasn't, you know, getting trash driving a car. I wasn't, you know, beating people. I was just chilling. But those one or two beers that I was having, they affect you. And the next morning, I'd wake up a little fuzzy, or I wouldn't be as cognitively sharp. I'd miss a workout, or I'd push the workout back to later in the day because I just wanted to lay in bed and scroll through TikTok. And I didn't have a set schedule and plan. So I decided to abstain from alcohol and to go sober. I don't smoke weed. I don't do drugs. So the only drug that I really did was alcohol. And it's been an interesting journey, to say the least. When you tell people that you're abstaining from alcohol and you're not drinking anymore, you get some looks. I mean, people will try to get you to take shots. People will, oh, well, how long's it been? Well, I haven't had a drink since March. Oh, come on, take one shot, take one. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm chilling right now. I don't need to take anything. And it's a very weird situation that they kind of put you in. We've been told our whole lives that alcohol is okay. I mean, obviously it's only okay when you're of age, quote unquote, but we've all drank earlier than 18, and we've always been told that that's like a social lubricant. If you really want to fit in and you want to be funnier, you want to loosen up at a party, have a couple drinks, like you'll be good. And if you really look for the motivation, like you look at people that have quit alcohol, they all say the same thing. They just feel lighter. And it's true. I feel lighter since I've stopped drinking. I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever have a drink again. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But for right now, I know that it's just not in the cards for me to drink. So what I'm trying to show is like the timeline of how I started this fitness journey and how I'm currently at my position now. So March, I stopped drinking. I start doing the HIIT classes and I track my macros. And then around May, I was looking really good. I was feeling good, feeling faster, feeling stronger. I wanted an extra challenge. I mean, the gym has always been something that I've done since 2012. I wanted to push myself a little further and try something totally outside of what I'm used to. So I went to Matt Serra's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school over in Huntington. And I've always been a Serra fan from the UFC days. And I walked in and he was there and he's like, "Hey, what's going on, buddy? You know, I'm Matt." And "Yep, I know who you are." He goes, "Have you ever trained jiu-jitsu before?" I said, "Absolutely not. No combat sports, no wrestling, nothing like that. But I was just interested to try it out and see if I like it." I did my first class. I said, "All right, I like this. This is pretty cool. This is some cool shit." You know, I've always been a fan of self-defense. I've always been a fan of understanding martial arts and how they can really help you. God forbid you're in a bad, precarious situation. And I just feel like it's another tool for the tool belt. It's another thing that I can sharpen and get better at. And not only is it fitness, but it's cognitive fitness as well. So I said to myself, I said, I'm going to commit, because it was a year commitment to join his gym. I said, I'm going to commit. And I bought my gi online. And if you don't know what a gi is, it's the martial arts attire and the you call it a uniform. And I bought my gi, and the day that my gi came in, it was like a week and a half later. I bought it from Origin. They're an American-made company up in Maine. And the day that my gi came in, I went down to the to the school. I signed up for the year commitment, and that was it. Off to the races. I was going 5 days a week on top of weight training in the morning. And I mean, the weight was falling off me. I would eat over my macros a lot of days. Still, the weight was just falling off me, getting more cut, getting more muscular. And I started developing different muscles. So like my fingers and my toes and my form, everything was sore in different places that I haven't ever been sore before. So it was raising my fitness in a lot of different ways. It's been a blast learning at that school. A couple of injuries here and there because it is a combat sport. I mean, little AC joint issue on my shoulder. I popped my knee once just from a stupid move that I did. But, you know, you learn. Like, I popped my knee. I won't do that move again, or I'll be more mindful of what position my knee is in before I try to stand up with an opponent. But it's been a really cool journey, and I'm definitely going to put a different episode together about my jiu-jitsu journey. But let's get to the numbers, because we're 23 minutes in right now, or 20-ish minutes in right now, and I want to make this concise and right to the point. So the biggest overall message before I get to these 6 points is there's no magic pill or substitute for hard work. You got to work your ass off day in, day out. When that alarm clock goes off in the morning, get the fuck up. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait. The alarm clock goes off, you're out the bed. You are making the day better by starting early, starting fresh, getting your workout in, and dominate the day. Because if you're going to hear the alarm clock, ask for 5 more minutes, ask for 10 more minutes, not make your bed, not do this, not do that, you start stacking these little L's. And overall, you keep stacking L's, you're just going to feel like shit and you're going to perform like shit. So the first thing was taking accountability. So I have some bullet points. You know, when is enough enough? I was tired of being heavy. Plain and simple. You know when you're tired of being overweight. It just is what it is. I've been there a few times in my life. You feel uncomfortable in your clothes. You feel uncomfortable in your skin. I mean, that's a problem. And only you can fix that problem. No one else is. Like, if I point to somebody else on the street, no, he's not going to lose that weight for me. She's not going to lose that weight for me. She's not going to get up at 6 in the morning, 5, actually technically 5 in the morning. I've been getting up at 4:45, 5 in the morning. She's not going to get up at that time for me. I have to do that. That's on my back. So at some point you have to ask yourself, am I really going to do this? Am I tired? Because you get tired of feeling that way. It just happens. And if you don't take the accountability on it, it's never going to change. You know, what's the age old saying? It's insanity is, what is it? It's insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You got to make the choice and you got to stick to it. I mean, I've cycled weight in my life pretty heavily, super heavy, lean in high school when I lost all the weight. Then I went back to being heavy again. Then I went all the way down to 150 competing in bodybuilding. Then I went back up over a couple of years. Then I thought I was going to do another prep and I went down again. And then over the last 5-ish, 6 years, my weight's crept back up to the high point. And it goes back to like, I've been single for a long time. It goes back to like the thought process of, if you don't love yourself, no one else is going to, you know, you're not going to be deserving of that love. You have to love yourself if you want to expect someone else to give that to you as well. So I'm finally at a point where I feel it. I feel different. I feel good. I feel proud of myself. I wake up, I look in the mirror and I go, wow, we're getting a couple of extra little muscle pops today. Like, you feel good. And I think the biggest transition from now to when I competed in bodybuilding was I'm not suffering. So I'm not suffering in dieting. Like, when I bodybuilt, I fucking suffered and I hated it, but I got it done. This, I'm not suffering. So it's such a change. So when is enough enough? You know, how many times are you going to tell yourself that you're going to track the food, exercise more, reach a goal, and then you barely take that first step? The first step's the hardest. You just have to stay consistent. You just have to show up. Same thing with podcasting, same thing with entrepreneurship. You just have to keep showing up and getting the work done. That's it. There's no secret pill. There's nothing that's going to magically make your business make millions of dollars. There's nothing that's going to make your body drop hundreds of pounds of fat. It's just not going to happen. So it's about getting it done. End of story. Work hard and the results are going to follow. So that's my first point. The second point is adding in the exercise and the different forms. So as I mentioned, I did bodybuilding for years. And it's become a limiting form of exercise for me. It's great. Don't get me wrong. I think the development of each individual body part is great, and learning how to actually train, that creates a really good base and stability for yourself in the fitness industry and through the gym. But you start to look at other training styles, and when you're so sheltered in one way, you almost close your mind off to those other styles. So like powerlifting, I'm only powerlifting. I don't bodybuild. Or I'm a bodybuilder, I don't powerlift. Or I'm a CrossFitter, I don't do powerlifting or bodybuilding. There should be a way to be able to enjoy all of these forms of fitness and utilize all of them for what they're worth. You know, bodybuilding has helped my jiu-jitsu. Hybrid training with like the HIIT style workouts have helped my jiu-jitsu 10 times more than my bodybuilding has. Yeah, my strength is good, but being able to move a kettlebell and hip hinge and do all of these functional movements, that makes a big difference when you're trying to turn your hips over and you're grappling with another human being. So incorporating all of these different styles of training, it's imperative. I mean, on TikTok, I got a lot of comments about people that don't enjoy exercising. I hate exercising. I don't know what to do. I don't like to go to the gym. It's about finding things that you enjoy doing but also have a physical benefit to them. So if you like to golf, go out there and golf, but just don't take the cart. If you like to snowboard, go hit the slopes. If you like mountain biking, okay, it's biking. And it is fitness, but it doesn't always feel like fitness because you're having fun. So that's the key thing that I have to give somebody is like, if you're looking to get into a fitness type mindset, lose weight, get cognitively sharp, feel better, but you hate going to the gym, that's okay. Don't go to the fucking gym. Do something that's going to be fun. You have to do things that you enjoy. Life is far too short to not enjoy what you're doing. So my tip for adding in exercise is try a bunch of different things. See what you enjoy and then start to cultivate and harness that relationship with that sport or that activity. And who knows, maybe after a year you hate it. Maybe after 6 months, you love it and you're just becoming an expert at it. Try different things. If there's something that you look at that sparks your interest, give it a shot for real. 3, tracking macros. Oh man, this is a whole episode on its own. I'm going to give the abbreviated version. If you don't know what a macro is, it's a protein, carb, and a fat. These are the macronutrients that we consume on a daily basis. Then, you have micronutrients, which are like, you know, microgreens and whatnot for all your vitamin needs and all your sub macronutrient needs. But we're going to stick to the macros currently. So protein, carbs, and fats. Quick lesson. For every gram of carb and protein, it's 4 calories. For every gram of fat, it's 9 calories. Super simple. But these are what make up nutritional labels and the calories that you're consuming off of items that show them. So if you have 9 grams of fat, 10 grams of carbs, 10 grams of protein, it's 10 times 4, and then 9 times 9. 10 times 4 twice because it's for protein and carbs, and then 9 times 4 for the 9 times 9 for the fats. Sorry, I got a little fucked up there. But people make this out to be the worst thing ever. I mean, tracking your food, oh, I could never. Oh, it's too hard, this and that. My Macros Plus, zero affiliation. My Macros Plus, send the check. I have put all my friends on to that app to track their macros. And it couldn't be easier. I'll give a tutorial if people really want me to show how I use the app. I'll do a screen record and I'll walk people through it on a video. But I mean, essentially you track all your food. It shows you the amount that you've consumed per day, how much you have left. You can add your own foods that you use on a daily basis into it to make it even more simple. The tools are there. I mean, 40 years ago, it was probably much harder. But 40, 50 years ago, we also didn't have to worry about all the GMOs and all the bullshit in our food. And generally, people were healthier. So you have to make the conscious effort to track the food, understand what you're eating, and you may have some gastro upset or some issues with certain foods that you just shake off and you don't understand. But now because you're tracking, you're able to now look at the app and go, you know, my gastro was like, it was acting up. I was bubble guts or I had diarrhea, like whatever you had. Like I just felt like shit and this and that. And there's a trend. Every time I eat peanut butter, every time I eat fish or every time I eat beef, whatever it might be, you can actually see it because you're taking the things that you're putting into your mouth. This is the key word here. You're taking accountability for what you're putting in the chompers, okay? Stop just fucking throwing peanut butter cups and all kinds of shit back there, just being like, ah, well, whatever, you know, it is what it is, and then forget, and then you have a Sunday later in the day. You're packing on crazy empty calories, and the exercise output is probably nowhere near what it needs to be to burn all that off to stay at a base, let alone lose weight. So I would highly suggest getting an app to track your macros. What I tell people when they first want to start losing weight is you should track the food for a week to see where you're currently at. And that's no holds barred. Whatever you're going to eat normally, you need to track. So if you're going to eat 3 sundaes, a box of cereal, this and that, you have to eat it all and you have to track it all exactly to what you ate, because that's going to show the amount of calories that you're averagely consuming. And it's going to be fucking eye-opening when you see how many grams of carbs, how many grams of fat, and how many grams of protein. Generally, that protein is super low. I'm also not somebody that thinks that protein should be super high. So I'm kind of on the fence about stuff like that. There's a lot of people that say 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. I eat a little bit under that. It's a lot of food to be consuming after a while. And I've just never been a fan of eating that much protein. But you got to check your food labels. You know, look to see what's in it. I just found out that fucking natural flavors, I mean, in my seltzers, I was going to grab the box, but I don't feel like reaching over there. Natural flavors in like seltzers, whenever they say natural flavors, it's not great, man. Somebody sent it to a lab to go get it checked out, and it came up with a lot of shit. I don't have the actual stuff. It's on my phone.
Oh, actually,
got my phone right here. Let's see. What did she say was in the quote unquote natural flavors? Here it is. Acetone. Diacetyl, I don't even know what the, I don't even, if you, okay, another tip. If you can't pronounce the shit that's in there, probably shouldn't consume it. Probably not good. I mean, when you see a watermelon and it just says melon or watermelon, yeah, that's good to consume. Eggs, steak. You know, all this Beyond Meat versus regular steak and regular meat, whatever your standpoint is on it for the environment or the morality of it, whatever it might be, a single sourced ingredient is always going to be better than some genetically modified piece of fucking whatever it is that scientists are making up. I'm good on all that shit. all that does is cause gut irritation, cellular decay, tons of horrible symptoms and side effects that you don't need when you're trying to get healthy and stay fit. The foods are horrible, so you might as well try to stay as plain Jane as possible. And I know plain Jane ain't sexy. You're not going to get excited over eating, you know, plain foods when you could be eating. I keep going back to Sundays. I guess I want a Sunday. I don't even know what's going on with that shit. But when you could be eating junk food and when you could be eating Sour Patch Kids and all kinds of other shit, pancakes in the morning and whatnot, you can do these things, but you can make your own healthy spin on them because dieting doesn't have to suffer. Dieting, you don't have to suffer to diet. There we go. But yeah, I got to be honest with you. I can't even pronounce half of this shit. Isobutanol, propanol, I'm going to try to pronounce this one and then I'm moving on. Pentanedione 2-3. Yeah, whenever I see food, you know, coloring 40, red 40, all this shit, I know that shit is just not going to be great. Ethyl, a bunch of ethyls. I'm not a scientist. I don't know what these do, but I can take a guess that they're not going to be great in your system. They're just not. I never claim to be an expert at any of this stuff, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that type of shit out. So check those food labels. One of the tips that John Meadows used to say all the time is stick to the outside of the grocery store, because the inside is where all the preservatives and things that have to stay shelf life stable for months and months, years and years. You don't want to consume that shit. So things that actually decay and actually, you know, every time I bitch about my avocados going too ripe too quick, it's actually a good thing. That means they're real. That means that they're not fake. If I have avocados sitting in my fridge for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and they're not dying, that's a problem. I probably shouldn't eat that. Think about that when you're at the grocery store. And, one of the points that I had on here, well, two of the points is, no food tastes as good as when your clothes fit. I'll say it again. There is no food on this planet that tastes as good as the feeling when your clothes fit. And what I mean by fit is when you don't have love handles sticking out and you don't feel fat and you feel tight all around. You just feel good. There is nothing on this planet that tastes as good as that feeling. And I've said that for years. And every time I've been in shape, I've always said it. And every time I've been heavy, I've always felt it. So you got to really keep yourself in check and understand that, you know, that bite, that snack, that extra moon pie, I don't fucking know. Moon pie. I don't know. Is it really worth eating to not feel comfortable in your clothing and in your skin? And my guess is probably not. Water is an interesting subject. Once again, not a professional when it comes to water and, you know, everything about that. But tap water is dog shit for you, I can tell you that. The amount of fluoride and estrogenics and everything else that's in the water supply is absolutely horrible for you. I'm going to mute my phone. I got the Fantasy League blowing up my iPad right now. Don't want to keep seeing those notifications. There's a book called Estrogeneration that talks about the amount of estrogenics in the water supply, in the food supply, and what foods and how to avoid them to some extent. I mean, if you're not filtering your water at home, get to filtering. When you're out at a restaurant and somebody says, and the waiter comes over and you say, and they say tap or bottled water, and somebody at the table always goes, oh, tap's fine. Fuck no. Tap ain't fine. I'm good on that. I'll pay for the water. There is so much shit in that water that I don't want to be consuming it. And if I'm taking all these steps and precautions to work out extra hard, to eat the right foods, to make sure that I'm reading the labels and all this stuff, to fuck it up when I'm drinking water, it's not happening. So I filter my water through TikTok and a bunch of people online. I was informed that you have to remineralize your water that has been stripped of all the minerals because it's been filtered. So although that your filter at home strips the chlorine, strips all this shit out of the water that you're filtering from the tap, it also strips the good stuff. So now you're drinking water that is actually leaching these minerals out of your body. So one way to help that is Element, the salt packs that have the sodium and hydration. If you're working out extra hard or you're fasting in the morning, these are great ways to stay not only in your fast, but to stay hydrated and mineralized throughout. Or you use literally trace mineral drops. So it's a blue bottle. You can get it on Amazon. I can put a link in the description of the podcast. But they basically just remineralize the water with the potassium, the magnesium, and the sodium that you need to be hydrated. And you'll probably find that you don't need to drink a gallon, 2 gallons, 3 gallons of water a day because your water is mineralized. It's actually good water that isn't stripping your body of everything now. So it's just crazy how things work with, just everything in this world, that there's a million and one things you have to do to re-stabilize things that they're telling you is healthy. Number four is sobriety. So I already kind of went over the benefits, in my opinion. You have to get past the judgment of others and just get rid of the vices. Do you really want to be training your ass off, being a badass motherfucker, just all around, eating well, dropping weight, feeling good, to have a vice that hooks you? Like, I swear to God, if I see one more person with a fucking vape, yo, you guys got to get over that shit. If you are watching this and you vape, this isn't me being a bully or trying to call you out, but not only the health concerns, extremely concerning, but it looks fucking stupid. Let me blow this smoke out and try to look cool while I'm standing here. Nah, yo. That shit is just poison at the finest level. Most of the shit's made in China, and you really want to be consuming that stuff, breathing it directly into your lungs, and then you wonder, well, what is it called? Popcorn lung? That's what they're saying people are getting from the vapes. Yo, I can't make it through the day if I don't have my vape. Yo, get it together. Dead ass. Get it to fucking together. Like, that is insane. Grown ass man or woman, you can't get through the day without sucking on a little candy flavored vape. That's insane. At some point, you got to be like, yo, this thing has so much control over me. Enough. I got to take control of my life. And that's the same thing with drugs. That's the same thing with alcohol. When are you going to be tired of these things having so much control over you? Every time you go out, you got to have a drink. The amount of people I see that bust their ass all week to just go out multiple times a night on the week and multiple times on the weekend, there's a drink with every fucking meal. That's it. Really? Do you know what that does to you on the inside? Do you understand what that does to not only your liver, but your brain? Constantly having alcohol, multiple drinks a week. Oh, it's just one. Yeah, just one. Just one here and there with dinner. And when I go out to the bars with the friends or when we celebrate something. So every get together at every event, you're just without a, you're just never, your hand's never empty. You always have a drink in hand. That's fucking scary. I mean, just from a fitness perspective and what I've been told over the years, once again, not a professional, but what I've been told over the years and I've seen and researched a little bit myself. The second that you start drinking alcohol, your body stops metabolizing fat. Your liver stops metabolizing fat. The feeling of being drunk, as per Andrew Huberman, Huberman Lab podcast, the feeling of being drunk is actually the poison from the ethanol, from the actual liquor and the alcohol. That's poison that is causing the feeling of being drunk. So now your body stops metabolizing fat. And the body's primary goal is to get the alcohol out of your system. That's exactly why you piss so much when you drink, because the body is trying to rid it of all the alcohol and get it out as fast as possible. And the fat metabolization that, you know, you're missing now, that doesn't start back up right when the alcohol is out. I believe it takes 24 to 48 hours, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but let's just say 12 hours for shits and giggles. That's 12 hours on top of the drinking you did all night and the shitty food that you consumed. I mean, you got to be able to make these choices yourself, but it's pretty crazy. The fifth point that I want to make is disconnection. Kind of how I started the episode, the world's a weird place right now. And there's a lot of doom and gloom about everything. You know, I made the conscious decision a long time ago to stop watching the news. I'm good on it. I don't need people who have a paycheck cut for them telling me what the people that cut their paychecks to tell. I don't need that shit. If we're not going to have an unbiased, real news source, I won't consume it. I like TikTok, to be honest with you. Although there's a lot of quacks on every single side, you do generally get unbiased news in some manner. You get to actually see all points, not just one. And although the algorithm will point a specific type of trend of videos that you like towards you, you still do get to see every angle from a news story. And that's something that we never were able to get years prior. So I think we're currently living in a situation where news sources are just having a troubled time capturing our attention. So they have to go with sensationalism like they did years and years ago. If you don't think that it racks your brain at a subconscious level and makes you nervous and makes you anxious and eats away at you, you're incorrect. It does. So you have to be very careful about the things that you're consuming on a media level. Very careful, because it is very easy to get hung up. I mean, one of the crazy things that I saw was when I had Netflix. I canceled it recently. When I had Netflix, or is HBO, one of the streaming services, one of the new movies or series was the divorce of Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. Really? Everyone's life is so great. Like, you watching right now, your life is so excellent and stellar that you can sit down and watch the divorce of Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. That is fucking insane. That's even a show. Who gives a fuck? Who cares? You really care that much that these people got divorced? They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about us. We got to stop glorifying these people and giving them the platform that they don't deserve. Kim Kardashian doesn't deserve her platform. She got it by fucking a dude on camera. She got it by having a mom that was married to a world-famous track star and her original husband died. This is fake fame, but people that buy into the bullshit have given her this platform and made her somebody into a godly figure in her eyes that she isn't. She's a fucking person. She's a human being. Stop giving these people this attention. It's insane. Support your friends. Support small business. Support your family. If you liked your family's posts when they start a business or they're talking about something that could maybe give them income down the line, if you supported as much as you did every random celebrity on Instagram or social media, who knows? That circle might elevate to the next level. But instead, you like the same rapper's post. You like the same celebrity's post. Oh, look, they're in Ibiza again. Who gives a shit? Gives a fuck? From what I've been hearing from everyone, everyone's behind on bills. Interest rates are through the roof, and no one can barely afford not living paycheck to paycheck. So theoretically, the attention should be off the celebrities. They don't matter. Focus on your life. Consumption. The things that you consume, the things that you take in, matter. On a cellular level, you have to be able to meditate. You have to be able to get to ground zero and ground. Put your feet in the dirt. I just did it when Kenji was at the dog park before. I put my feet in the dirt. It's been a long time. I wear sandals mostly now, to be honest with you. I don't like wearing shoes. If you guys see me at the gym, I come in sandals with socks on. I like my toes. I like my toes spread out. I don't like that, constantly wearing footwear. Everyone's constantly wearing footwear. That's another thing. You know, you got to break these trends. Everyone's constantly wearing sunglasses. Get the sun in your eyes, especially in the morning. Andrew Huberman, again. You know, I can't take credit for these people that give this, you know, scientific, unbelievable information. But these are things that you need to do to feel better, to perform better. And these steps, you know, consumption, I think, was the sixth step, but I'm going to stick with five. These steps are kind of what has laid the groundwork to getting me into a better headspace, getting me better physically, emotionally, loving myself, feeling good, you know. Gratitude is spoken about extremely on an extremely high level from Tony Robbins, from all these motivational speakers. You have to be grateful and show gratitude to people and those around you. I was doing gratitude texts early in the morning, when it was 5 a.m, I'd journal, and then I would send out gratitude texts and say, hey, so-and-so, I appreciate you. You know, what you do in your professional life motivates me. And whenever I do something and you support me, I appreciate you. These are things that make people feel good and help other people perform on a high level. And to be honest with you, when I send that out and I get those text messages back, that's like a dopamine hit for me too. Because these people are, that I send it to, when they send you a message back, they're very fortunate and they're ecstatic to read that, that they're making a difference in someone else's life. So practice gratitude. That's huge. The other thing I would say is get up the same time every single day. Doesn't matter if it's the weekend. Doesn't matter if it's the weekday. You have to pick a time to get up and start moving. Get your workout done with early in the morning, then maybe train again later at night if you have the energy, if you're eating enough calories, if you're not burnt out, train again at night. So I was doing I do the HIIT class at 6 a.m. most days. Some days I do it at 10 if I fucked up my schedule, but I'll do 6 a.m. I get up every morning at 5 a.m. Every morning, weekday, weekend. If it's the weekend, I don't have anything going on, like I don't have a fitness class that morning, I walk Kenji extra long. I give him an extra long walk. Super early. He's happy. He's like, fuck yeah, man. I get to get out of the house earlier. Let's get it. By keeping that consistent, your circadian rhythm is constantly in firing mode of the same thing day in and day out. You'll get tired at the same time every single night. You'll feel better. Wake up, get the sun in your eyes. Now it's going to be going into fall and winter, so it's getting darker earlier. But still, be outside. Get the sun in your eyes. Be present. These are some of my tips. I hope you guys enjoyed this little excerpt. Oh my God, it's 50 minutes already. I really was trying. I really was trying to keep it concise and condensed, but I hope that you guys got something out of this. I really do. I want to do more solo episodes. I want to do more Q&As. I'm going to be doing more lives. I have my new office coming soon. I'm just signed the lease. So as long as everything goes good, I should be there in the next month or so. That'll be a whole new space, painting the walls, getting everything set up. And I'm going to be doing a lot of shit there. I mean, it's on my block in Huntington, so I'm going to be there all the time. And I want to be more and more present, especially as we go into these interesting times coming up in the next couple of months. I want to have a lot of two-way dialogue and open dialogue with free conversation on every single side. It's just, it's super important, and everyone is super closed off if you don't align with everything that they think and believe. So take these tips, let me know, comment below, share with friends and family, and in all honesty, I appreciate you guys for fucking with me. And on that note, peace.